Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 6. Here we get to see the wonderful calling of Isaiah and the beauty that he describes the throne of heaven. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Continuing our discussion and follow through of what Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. Reminding them to be built up in Christ and not in of themselves. Here he continues. "Since you're eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature." This is the word of the Lord. I invite the congregation to rise.
Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fifth chapter.
To you, O Lord.
On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your words, I will let down the nets." And when he had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus leaves no doubt as to who is responsible for this catch of fish we heard of in our gospel reading. The Peter, James, and John Fishing Company had been out all night, and with all their wisdom and skill, going to all the right places, using all the best techniques, they had caught nothing. They were probably tired, probably more than a little grumpy. So after washing and mending their nets, they just wanted to go home and catch something, a little sleep. But no, they are delayed. First, Jesus uses Simon Peter's boat as a pulpit for a while. And then he wants to try his hand at fishing. "Guys, let's go out again," Jesus said. "Let's try the deep water." Now, if there is one thing professionals love, it's when amateurs tell them how to do their jobs. Peter, James, and John probably looked at each other in a bit of disbelief. "Is this guy serious? It's the wrong depth of water. It's the wrong time of day. We're not going to catch anything like we didn't catch all night." But this is Jesus asking. And Jesus was gaining a bit of reputation. And Jesus had just healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law relatively recently. If it had been anybody else, but all right. So off they go. When they get to the deep water, they let down their nets, probably wondering how long this is going to take, how long Jesus is going to make them sit there. When they actually began catching fish, and not just a few fish, an abundance of fish. Not even one boatload of fish, but more than two boatloads of fish. So many fish, they didn't have room for them all. And there is no doubt as to who is responsible for that catch. And it's not because Jesus knew better fishing techniques. It's not because Jesus knew where the fish were. It's because this man, Jesus, is the Almighty God, the God who made these fish, the God who moves these fish through the seas. This miraculous catch of fish leaves no doubt as to who Jesus is. And Peter gets it. He's face to face with his maker. He no longer calls Jesus simply master. Now he calls him Lord. But see, Peter's not quite ready to meet his maker yet. So he falls at Jesus' knees and begs him to leave. "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." We can certainly give Peter credit here. He got that part right. But if Peter wasn't ready to meet his maker was ready for him. This miraculous catch of fish was no accident. It wasn't some sort of payment to Peter for using his boat as a pulpit. And it wasn't simply about helping out some fishermen who are down on their luck. Not any of that. Rather, Jesus had chosen these men to be his disciples, to be his followers. He was going to teach and train them to be his apostles, his sent ones, so that he would send them into the world after his death, resurrection, and ascension to be his representatives, to share the word of forgiveness and of faith, to establish and to build his church. These men. And so when Peter falls at Jesus' knees, confessing his sin, Jesus speaks words of grace and forgiveness. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. And with these words, Jesus shows us that actually the most miraculous catch of fish wasn't the fish. What started off as another ordinary day with the same old routine, with the same old work, which had left them actually empty-handed, that day turned out quite differently. But that's how it is with God. You're really not that much different than Peter, James, and John. Each day you wake up, you have a routine. Off to work, off to school, or maybe it's just the luxury of figuring out what day of the week it is because you're blessed with retirement. There are things to do, take care of the house, maybe take care of family, maybe meet with friends or with coworkers, take care of things. Perhaps some days it feels as if you get nothing accomplished, or that what you did that day didn't really matter to anyone. And maybe the same old routine is growing old and beginning to feel more like a hamster wheel. Around and around she goes. I mean, Peter, James, and John had been up all night fishing and caught nothing. It probably wasn't the first time. We can see it in church as well. Each week we come and go through the liturgy. You listen to a sermon, go to Bible class. It might seem relatively routine. You might feel stagnant in your faith. When we reach out in the community, do acts of mercy to help others, perhaps it feels as if we're getting nothing accomplished. Like we're doing so much fishing and catching nothing. How do we make sense of this all? We do so by remembering who is responsible for the catch of fish. On the one hand, Christ commands us to work, put down the nets. But on the other hand, he shows us that our work on our own really accomplishes nothing. Our lives, our hands are empty without the grace and presence of God. Now, the world may tell us otherwise. The world has a couple of mottos to live by. If you work hard, you'll be successful. If you make better choices, you'll have a better life. If you do all the right things will happen to you. But even those mottos can be pretty empty. There are some very good parents whose children have gotten mixed up in drugs and cults and just flat-out rebellion. There are some very hard-working people who get laid off each year. There are people at the top of their professions that feel empty. There are people who take very good care of their bodies and yet suffer terrible diseases. There are retirees who feel useless and unappreciated. Many people wondering, what am I accomplishing? What am I doing? What does it matter? Are we going to simply toil our whole life to be left empty-handed? But Christ tells us to go back out. Perhaps like Peter, James, and John, we're tired. Maybe we're more than a little skeptical. Perhaps we really would rather catch up on some shut-eye instead. And perhaps we just wonder why. But again, whose catch is it? So off we go. Into the various vocations and callings that God has given us. Obviously, we're not all the same. We're not all fishermen. We're not all pastors. We may be single, we might be married, we may be fathers or mothers, sons, well, we're all sons or daughters, workers, students, bosses, grandparents, friends, neighbors. Off we go into our various varieties. But as Christians, we go a little differently. We go as those who have been caught by Christ, who have been caught in the net of his gospel of forgiveness, who have heard his word of grace and forgiveness, who have been baptized into his death and resurrection, who feast at his table. We go differently because we are different. We're not going to our vocations as our own, depending on our work and our accomplishments, our techniques, our wisdom, our skill, our strength. No, we go into our vocations in faith, knowing that if anything's going to be accomplished through us, it's going to be done by Christ, by him living in us, by the one who commanded the fish to swim into the net. And so as Christ redefined what it meant for Peter, James, and John to be fishermen, he does the same for us in our lives, in our vocations. We see things differently. We live new lives in a new light. So we're fathers and mothers not just raising our children, but raising God's own children. We're workers, not just working for ourselves to accumulate as much stuff as we can, as many toys as we can, but working, providing daily bread, yes, for our families, but also for many others. We're friends and neighbors through whom God is taking care of others. And in the church, as a church, we reach out and have mercy, not to be big and successful, but to let down the net of God's word and his forgiveness in a world that can be exceptionally cold and unforgiving. And we do so recognizing that only Christ can build his church and his kingdom. So we go back out. In fact, we're compelled to go out, for our Lord has said, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Each day, every week, each passing year, at his word. But we do this with a greater awareness of God being at work in us in very ordinary and sometimes very extraordinary ways. Excuse me. Last week, I had the joy and privilege of being over at Zion Lutheran in Detroit Lakes. They have an interesting custom to help sort of keep this awareness before their members. At some time during the service, often right before the benediction, the pastor invites the congregation. As we pray, think about someone specific who needs to hear the love, the grace, and the forgiveness of God given in Jesus, our Savior. This could be a family member, coworker, neighbor, friend, or simply someone you haven't seen in church for a while. Just call to mind a name and a face. And that's an invitation for you to call to mind a name and a face. We join in praying together the prayer projected on the screen. Lord Jesus Christ, someone I know needs your grace and mercy in their life. You have told us to let down the nets. So give me the opportunity this week to share with them your great love. Keep my eyes open for the chance to speak and give me the courage and words that I may be confident in my witness and conversation. In your name, amen. That might be hard to pray because letting down the nets is sometimes scary. But as you go with no doubt about a couple of things. There is no doubt that the work and the results belong to God and not to us. And there is no doubt your life is anything but routine, it's anything but meaningless, and it is far from accomplishing nothing. There is no doubt that the word of God is accomplishing in you and through you exactly what Christ wills. We may not always be able to see it or understand it, but that's where faith comes in, because there is no doubt that even in the face of sin and death or hardship or failure, that when the net is pulled up, there will be fish. And not just a few, but in abundance. And in the end, when all graves are open, there will be life, and not just a little, but abundant and eternal life. All of it by grace. All of it by Christ working in us and through us. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ your Savior as you let down the nets. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.